What do you think, Stephen? Are we good to go? Okay, Zerene, please begin. Stephen will be moderator, I guess, between Stephen and Barry. I don't have a great internet connection at the hotel, so I'll just sort of step to the background. But just before you begin, while I do have audio, I'm going to hit the record button, assuming that I've got... Okay, I can't seem to get the record working. Okay. Well, Barry, if you hear me, can you hit the record if it's not working? For some reason, I'm not getting the record.
Yeah, maybe I have to do it. I'm doing it now.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say a particular thank you to those of you that stuck with us in spite of a few technical glitches.
This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome to the first week session on mobile learning in Open University Malaysia. I had the privilege of meeting Zerene a few years ago, I guess it was, when I was in Malaysia for a presentation, and I've been quite fascinated to see the work that she's been doing and her interest in particularly mobile learning. Last week I was in South Africa, and I had a gentleman who was presenting research from Uganda, and he stated that 96.2% of his students had mobile access, which just, I mean, I almost fell off the chair, because that kind of number is amazingly high. You know, why are we teaching stuff on computers and laptops if we have that kind of mobile penetration? So I just want to say thanks to those of you that popped in here in spite of some technical glitches, and thanks to Zerene for accepting the initiative to take on the first week of a course and get things rolling. I had a chance to look at her slides. Looks like an outstanding presentation. So I'm going to sit back, listen, and enjoy. Over to you.
Okay, thank you, George. Yes, we met 3 years ago, I think, in Kuala Lumpur. And it's always a pleasure to be in touch with you. What I'd like to do tonight, well, it's midnight in Malaysia, is to, I think, the next 15 minutes or so, to give an overview of mobile learning at Open University of Malaysia. I have been involved with the project since late 2008, when the senior vice president asked me if I could try to conceptualize a project for mobile learning for our OUM students. Basically, let me just go to the next slide. Not sure if everyone knows where Malaysia is, but we're on the opposite side of the globe if you're in North America. And we are a small country with about 27,000 population. And I live in the city of Kuala Lumpur, which is, I'm not sure whether you can see my arrow, but let me see. Is it what it is? Yeah. Kuala Lumpur. And we have the Open University Learning Center spread throughout the country. So you'll see that we have the peninsula portion, as well as the northern part of Borneo, Sabah here, and Sarawak below. The students are spread out in both regions, about 30-something thousand at any one time in a semester. And what I'd like to do tonight, today, is to provide a very quick introduction and then to talk the initiative at OUM, just a little bit about the future and include. The Open University of Malaysia is the first open and distance learning institution. It was established in the year 2001, started with 753 students, and today we have 108,000 plus enrolled, with 36,000 plus having graduated. It is a private entity, although it is a consortium of 11 public universities. We started with small funding from the government, and today we manage financially by charging students fees, but not as much as the regular private universities. We have a total of 40 over learning centers throughout the country, some 52 programs ranging from the diploma level to the bachelor's, to the master's, and to the PhD. In total, we have about 1,000 courses offered for all the programs. And what we have for the students in terms of delivery is blended learning. So it's face-to-face as well as online. The mobile learning scenario in Malaysia is such that we have 26 million population, but 28.9 million registered mobile phone subscribers, which means to say some people have more than one phone, sometimes three phones. And it's only natural that we thought about using mobile devices, or in particular mobile phones, for learning. This is this slide shows the growth of fixed line. Well, not to say the growth, it is fixed line going down, but the cellular phones are going up in terms of per 100 household. Going straight into the project, the mobile learning at OEM, in 2008, we did a readiness survey primarily to find out whether our learners would be ready for it. I usually like to do this personally, just to know whether you can confirm that, yes, they all have...
This line is now muted.
Which mobile subscribers are they with? Which mobile subscription companies are they with? And we got almost 3,000 students responding to the survey, and with that, it gave us a very definite plan on the fact that mobile learning will reach out to the students. 98% have phones. In 2009, we started with podcasting in the January semester. They were like 1 minute, but somehow it was not that popular because the students they had to pay when they downloaded the podcast. So after one semester, we also realized that it was very labor intensive and time intensive process to record the segments. So we went, we considered SMS. We had a workshop in April with about 20 something people. We had about 4 or 5 students, about 6 or 7 tutors, and the rest were academics, full-time academics from OUM. We discussed and we suggested, you know, what if we were to launch an SMS mode of mobile learning. Students were not too happy because they didn't know what it was going to be like. But somehow we piloted it in May, and we did this. We started with a matrix. We thought there might be a good reason for sending out certain SMSs at certain times, and it must be the right SMS at that particular moment for the student. We also asked them, when would you like to receive the SMSs? And they said, well, not during the daytime because that's when they work. And if we wanted to send the SMS, it had to be like after 8 p.m. and not too late, not after 10 p.m. So we sent the SMS about 8 p.m. And because we had maybe up to 2,000 students to send the SMS to, we queued it from 7:30 onwards. And then I think within half an hour. All right. In September, based on the success of the pilot in May, we launched the mobile learning in 3 courses. If I remember correctly, this involved a business course, a genetics bachelor, biology course, and the learning skills course. And we expanded to 8 courses next semester. And then we brought it down to 3. When we felt that the numbers were getting so huge. And in May, usually we have lesser courses. So we brought it down to 3. In September, it was just 1 course. For some reason, I can't remember why now. Then in January, 2001, 2 courses and 2 courses. And in September, coming up, also 2 courses. The 2 courses here have been... limited to the learning skills course, which is a first semester course for all OEM students enrolled for the first time. And another course is called the Malaysian, which is totally online plus mobile, plus the self-managed learning, which is the module. So far, about 22 students have benefited since we launched the mobile learning using SMS in May 2009. And let me see. If I can go back a little bit, when we did the readiness survey, we found that 98.9% of the students' phones. And we had also asked what kind of phones they had, because at that time we were considering podcasts. Not too many had expensive phones yet at that time. I think maybe about 20 or 30%. But nevertheless, we tried that. When we asked students whether they could imagine themselves as being a mobile learner, we provided this visual. And we asked this question as exactly as what you see here, but with also a translation in the local language, the bilingual questionnaire. And 82.8, I think, said that, yes, they would be ready for mobile learning within 6 months. Okay, so this was the exact response. 80% said yes, 80% said no. The objectives of mobile learning at OUM was basically to enhance the current blend of learning modes used at OUM, as well as to increase the flexibility of learning and to encourage support ubiquitous learning, seeing that mobile devices are getting popular and people were going into smartphones. So we thought we should start mobile learning at time. In enhancing the blend, what we did was taking the existing delivery mode, we added to it. It's not that we took something away and we put mobile learning. It was more to make everything work better. Is increasing the flexibility of learning. It was more of, yes, there's another mode for them to get instructions from. It's like having another tutor. Instead of just having the face-to-face tutor telling them what to do, motivating them, maybe reminding them on what's important, we also had the SMS giving them the same messages. And of course, we thought once we got this started, we could go into other ways of learning mobile devices. I'll be saying something later about the iPad. Go on to the next slide. SMS was considered because SMS was and still now a very big thing. Everybody's sending SMS. For example, I hardly make calls or pick up calls. Most of the time, it's sending of SMSs. And it's cheap. On a personal level, I think it's only, I think, 1.5 cents, US cent or Canadian. So it's very cheap. But for OUM, we have to pay 20 cents per SMS per student. So individually, it's very cheap, and that's why SMS is very big. All right, this is the blended learning I was mentioning earlier. We have the face-to-face tutorials, which students five times in the semester. We also have the online learning opportunities as well as resources. Typically, they have forums that they can participate in. And also they have, in addition to print modules, which every student get for every course, we also have web-based modules, which are available through the management system. We also started creating audio modules when we started having blind students or visually impaired students. And for some courses, we had multimedia courseware created. At the very least, learning objects based on rapid using Reptivity. And in addition, there are some podcasts which were recorded. This is part of the iRadio project. In addition, sometimes the PDF documents, which were uploaded to the learning management system, or PowerPoint, Microsoft Word, and so on, and also the digital library, which will be the database of journals, e-books, e-library, and so on. We expect our students to be able to do their own self-managed learning, and of course they can use the resources which were provided to them, the printer module, as well as the resources provided in the LMS. But in addition to all this, for the courses which we selected for mobile learning, we sent SMSs in terms of, well, five categories. It could be related to content of the module. It could, we have to manage the course, for example, sending them a hello message at the very beginning. And at the end, of course, we will say a good semester, something like that. Somewhere in the middle, we send motivational SMSs. We also remind them, when appropriate, to go into the forums. And we sometimes say, okay, what the forum is all about, coming up. We provide tips at times on how to remember certain content, for example. Okay, next, we have this push and pull notion of mobile learning using SMS. The SMS we consider to be to students, okay, the five categories. At the same time, when you see the three circles, the self-managed learning use of modules, which is a repeat of what I mentioned earlier, the students will be go into the module, you know, read the module. And same thing, sometimes we say, read this topic before you go into the tutorial. Or please remember to read the topics before you go into the tutorials. The reason we had to do that was because students were always telling us, students come unprepared to the tutorials. And we thought using an SMS to tell them or to remind them to read would help. And yes, there was an improvement in terms of that. In terms of forums, yes, we also reminded them, yes, we have this forum coming up, please go in and discuss. And it works very well for the first semester students because we wanted them to start adopting the approach that a distance learner need to adopt or need to use, yeah, to manage their own learning. For example, these are examples of the content the five categories given. Well, these are the examples given. This was the purpose for each category, and I think you can do that on your own time. Okay, but this was the matrix that I mentioned earlier. We sent mostly content, so in this case, 15 SMSs for related content, about forums, four on tips, and two related to motivation, usually in the form of a motivation quote. Interestingly, when we met students, they told us this was a bit difficult for them to understand. So the semesters after that, we gave a simpler quote. And we also provided reminders. In terms of course management, we reminded them their mid-semester exam was. Of course, some of them were saying, why don't you tell us the location as well? And this was impossible because they would be taking exams in at least 40 different centers. Okay, we did. Every semester, we get feedback from the students. We send questionnaires out to all the learning centers, and we encourage them to feedback. And in May and in May and September, 2 years, when we asked them whether they were encouraged to be focused in the studies, you can see that it's like 75 and above percent were whether it helped learners manage their learning better is quite high as well. And same thing with sustaining their interest in the course and giving flexibility to the learning. So it's pretty high. In terms of learner satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 10, students think that it helped them to prepare better for tutorials. And this is what they said, it enabled them to learn anytime and enabled them to learn anywhere because their handphones would be with them all the time. Sometimes they refer to the messages and it could be related to a snippet of a content, so that helps them both. And they felt encouraged to stay more focused in the studies because if you can imagine, their face-to-face classes have been 2 weeks apart. So in between, sometimes they forget that they are students because they're mostly working. 95% of the students are in full-time employment. And they did say that the SMSs received reminded them that they were students, especially in the first semester. And they also said that they had the interest sustained in the course and help them manage their learning better, and also help them make learning more enjoyable, maybe because feeling of connectedness with the university and with the course. Jumping to the most recent survey, May 2011, in terms of whether the SMS were good, yes, they said very good. We must continue. Please note that this was taken verbatim from the students. It was not edited for the grammar. And another person said good, at least know the current news about subject. Very good. Should SMS for other kids? They felt motivated, and these were the comments given. I think I will just leave to you to read them. Okay, they also said SMSs were useful. Okay, next. SMSs were also helpful. Helped them to remember the course content better and give them a lot of information. Very helpful. Reminds them when to do the assignment and exercise. And then it motivated them to study. And the reminders sent, well, they must be alert and so on. Okay, if we think in terms of the future, let's say not too far away, let's say in the next 2 to 3 years, I think for now, with the SMSs being sent to students, it's like having a tutor in the pocket. If we can imagine the tutor teach them, they are also acting like a manager, managing the students' learning, telling them, reminding them about deadlines, reminding them perhaps about what's important, maybe how best to study, how best to understand a certain topic, and so on. The teacher also guides from time to time, so the SMSs do that sort of, and we also send an SMSs which motivate the learner in terms of the quotations. And one student I clearly remember said that at one point he came out of the examination hall and he felt not too good because he didn't think he answered too well, but within minutes an SMS came in, and then he felt uplifted again, you know, in terms of spirit. So that was good. And in the future, currently OUM is also considering use of tablet devices like the iPad. I did mention to the senior vice president about 1.5 years ago, a few months after the iPad came out, and I told him about giving the students the iPad. And instead of OUM giving student the print module, why not have each student download the module in electronic copy, and then maybe with a certain software, they would be able to annotate to highlight things and so on. So that might change things. I was just reading this meeting chat, so I got distracted, sorry. And with the iPad, it would replace the cost of printing the modules and getting the modules to all over the country. And so much there's so much logistics involved with about 800 courses, I think, offered every semester. There's 800 different courses to work with, to print and to send out. With the iPad, everybody gets an iPad maybe at the beginning, and after that, they will just download the modules. Okay, I think some people were, I missed some of the chats, but some people are saying, yeah, you know, it's like holding hands, holding the learner's hands. But some are saying with distance learners, yeah, you might have to. Think that this is the first semester course, and we just needed to get them adopting certain habits as a distance learner. We are thinking that hopefully this will reduce the attrition rates. Of course, we don't know. We haven't really done a comparison between after learning in terms of dropout rates after the first semester and comparing with dropout rates before that mobile learning. But that would be interesting to compare. With the iPads, I think eventually we will work with ubiquitous learning. I remember Kurt Bonk saying in his The World is Open, U-Learning is on the corner. And I think if OUM adopts the tablet devices, the decision is not there yet, but I think if OUM adopts it, then we could be doing more things with it. Okay, in conclusion, after all this, we think it was very important to define the purpose of mobile learning. We have to limit it a few good reasons, not mobile learning for everything. I think I gave the three objectives. We think it's also important to see whether they were ready and primarily whether they had a device, whether they were willing to try and set, whether they were, if we wanted to charge them, whether they would be willing to be charged and so on. And at the same time, we needed to get, at that time, what we did was involve a lot of, as many faculty members as possible. And to start the project, I communicated with the tutors of those courses and all the directors of the learning centers and some of the administrators, to tell them that this project was all about. And we also sent them the exact SMS that students get, so they know what was going on. And the other thing was, for any project, especially
this line is now unmuted.
The learning in terms of the learning outcomes, and if we don't do that, then I think we didn't do anything. And of course, planning to succeed, making sure the resources are there financially, people, time, everything. And once the project is implemented, we need to monitor. What we did was we stayed in touch with some, especially at the very beginning, with the tutors, with the Learning Center directors just to find out how the students felt about it. Some of us went out to the Learning Center. We spread ourselves out and visited a few, and we met the students. And everywhere we went at that time, the students were very happy. They said, yeah, it's very nice to receive all this benefits, and they wish it could continue in other courses. We also made sure that we evaluated every semester just to get the feedback, to make sure that we're on track, and to make sure that we're not wasting money, we're not wasting anybody's time, and we're not disturbing the students' peace of mind. Yeah, and of course, always trying to improve. At the moment, we aren't doing any different from the first time we started, because everyone is happy the way it is. The only thing is, I'm sure we need to consider other devices after this, but in terms of the objectives, the SMSs, I think, had worked quite well. Okay, I think that's about it. Thank you. I hope this gave a very quick view of the Project OUM. The articles that I gave, the three links, would have given more explanation, more detail. Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Zuriani. And
okay, well, thank
you. And am I getting echo here? No, maybe not. Okay. First of all, if anyone has questions or comments to add, we still got a little bit of time here. It's only 2:03 by my clock, so I think we can go a wee bit over time given when we started. So, although we have to keep in mind that in Kuala Lumpur, it's 1 a.m., so we don't want to go too long. So, does anyone have any questions? I saw a couple in the chat room. Somebody want to speak up and pose those questions? And not seeing anyone jumping to the microphone. I did see one comment in the chat area asking about tying this to learning outcomes. So I wonder if you could comment on that. And also I'm seeing a question from Jenny McNess asking if there's been any negative feedback from students, and if so, what that feedback would have been. And Brett Fifield is saying the link to learning outcomes. You're looking for the link specifically to learning outcomes.
Hello.
Go ahead. And we seem to have lost sound from Zuriani.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Did you hear the questions that I asked? And would you like to offer an answer?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't. You can hear me now, though, right?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay. One of the questions was there any negative feedback? And if so, what was it? And the other question was whether you could tie this directly to learning outcomes, if there's any direct click, any direct link there.
Okay, negative feedback. There were a few. Some of them said, because we gave them a choice midway in the semester, we asked them whether they still like to continue or they want to not receive the SMSs anymore. We do get about 10 students not wanting it anymore. 10 out of 1,000 plus students is negligible. But eventually, we realized that they were on the verge of dropping out. So, so it's not that bad actually. When they wanted out, it was like they were going to get out of the program as well. In terms of achieving the learning outcomes, we didn't tie it very tightly to academic learning outcomes. It was more of helping them to become distance learning students. The module that we chose was titled, what was it now? Learning skills for open and distance learners. And in that module, we taught them the various techniques or the various ICT, some of the, what you call this, skills in using LMS, how to log in, how to change their password, the fact that they needed to go to the forums, that they needed to be contributing to the forums, and typically they would wait for the teacher to tell them everything and they would go back and revise. But this is the reverse. We wanted them to read first before going to the tutorials. So we felt that we needed to help them become distance learners. So that was the main intention, rather than to help them achieve the academic outcomes or the outcomes of every topic. As you saw, there were about 50% related to content, which was trying to get them to understand, for example, their learning style, trying to get them to understand how to read better. I think that was the SQR technique in the module and so on. Is that enough in terms of reply, response?
I think so. There's another question came up asking whether teachers or tutors are allowed to SMS individual students, or would they use other communications?
Yes. Each tutor had a limit of 25 students, and we limited each tutor to having only two groups of students. So at most, they will have 50 students. If they wanted to send an SMS, they can. But what we did through the remote learning project was to have one person at headquarters send the SMS all at the same time. But in between, if the tutors wanted to do that, they could.
And was the SMS communication bi-directional? Could the students send SMSs as well?
For the first few semesters, it was unidirectional. We pushed it only. But starting, I think, about three semesters ago, we allowed students to respond to the SMSs, usually in terms of like a quiz question. So they would respond in an A or a B, and then we'll just confirm whether they were right or not. So very minimal, actually.
Okay, and that's all the questions I'm seeing here in the chat area. And this is your chance, everyone, to get one last question in. And while I'm waiting for that, I'd like to take this opportunity, Zoriani, to thank you on behalf of Dave, George, and myself. Sorry about the audio problems to start. You had the unenviable distinction, or maybe it's the enviable distinction, of being the first speaker in this Change 11 course. And we have one last question. Do you use your LMS to send and receive SMSs?
No, we did not use the LMS. We used, I'm not sure what it is, but I had one of my staff. It is a server. It was provided by the, what you call this, the mobile company. And we were subscribed to their services, and we input the numbers, we would enter the message, we would enter what time the SMSs were supposed to go out, and that's what happens. And what was the question again? What else?
Oh, it was just asking if they were using the LMS to send SMSs. That's all
was. Yeah. It's not the LMS. It is another program. And I saw a question about whether it's still going on. Yes, it is still going on. Yeah.
Okay.
But I hope it will go into bigger things. Right now, we are limiting it to 2 courses because it can be expensive sending it out to more than the 2 courses. Let me thank everyone for having joined in. I'm feeling a bit sleepy now because I would have slept normally about 2 hours ago. But I know some people are also beyond their bedtime, those who have joined us. Thank you for having me first. I didn't realize I was going to be number one. I guess being the first is either good or not so good, because being good, good because then you don't have a benchmark to follow. Not so good because sometimes you didn't really know what to do. But I hope things have worked out.
Well, I'd say they ultimately worked out very well from our end. Thank you so much for all of your patience. We really appreciate it. George and Dave, do you have anything you want to add before we wrap up? And I heard some faint sounds as though George was trying to use a substandard microphone to talk and not being successful. So when's the next session? I plan on having one on Friday. I'm going to set it at 1 p.m. and hopefully we'll be able to use this Fuse account. 1 p.m. my time, which is 12 noon Eastern. In other words, exactly the same time that this session started. So we'll try it on Friday. We'll try to get this meeting up and running and all the kinks worked out of the system. And then, of course, we're looking at another session happening next week. Unless somebody contradicts me, and George, you might contradict me, I'm not sure. but we do have the session tentatively scheduled for next week, and that would be with Martin Weller. Now, Friday Eastern 12 is when I would expect that session to be, but watch the newsletter, because I don't have a final confirmation of exactly when that session will take place. Anything else, George, Dave, anyone else before we wrap up? And I'm just hearing just some noises from George, but no words. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you on Friday. And I'm going to call an end to this session. And Barry, I see you're still here. Do you want to do the wrapping up?
Yep.
And saving of the recording, because I don't know how to do that yet. And
I've got it.
You've got it. Great. And I'd like to extend our thanks to you for stepping in and offering this solution on short notice. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Meeting recording has stopped.
All right, Steve, stop the recording. I will end the meeting here in a second. Looks like George actually dropped out completely, and of course David said he had to go. But I will send you, I'll probably send it to you and or George, but just the link to the recording, and then you can share it however you see fit with whoever you see fit.
That sounds great. I really appreciate it.
All right. And then we'll continue to talk about if you're getting
want to use this on Friday next week or whatever, we'll get that set up.
Yeah, I had a look at the homepage, and it looks pretty good. So, yeah, well, let's have a conversation about that.
Even if you use it a time or two and then go on to something else, at least you know for a while. So whatever works.
Great. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye.
Yep, I'm going to go ahead and end the meeting, and that'll just kind of kick everybody out.